Well, tonight we're bringing a message on faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it will be our text. And so would you all stand, please? Hebrews 11 and verse 6. You know what? Why don't you just quote it with me? Many of you know it anyhow. I hope you know this verse, okay? But may I give you a Savinsky acrostic definition of faith? Huh? Yeah, I began to ponder about the word faith a couple years ago. And so I came up with this acrostic. Listen to it. Faith. Firmly attest. I trust Him. I hope you remember that. Firmly attest. I trust Him. Hebrews 11, 6, I'm going to quote the verse passage or the reference in a moment. When I do, would you all join me and quote it out good and loud? Here we go. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Our dear Father, tonight, how we need the power of Your blessed Spirit upon us to make known the divine truth of Your Word that will impact, Father, the lives of all of us. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, please. You know, the Bible has a great deal to say about faith. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The Bible defines faith by stating in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In the passage, the Bible tells you faith has two things. Faith has hope, that means assurance. And faith has evidence, that means strong conviction. And throughout the Bible, we find men of God who had this kind of faith. The Bible says in Romans 4:20 of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Again, the word of God speaks about the faith of Moses. Hebrews 11:8-9, by faith Moses, when it was come the years, refused to call the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Also, the word of God speaks of the faith of Noah. Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. And then the writer of the book of Hebrews climaxes this chapter by stating in Hebrews 11, 32 through 34, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and other prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Here we find their lives were just dominated in the area of faith. That's why, young people, this message is so crucial. The Word of God tells you in Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And I want to show you the biblical principles about faith from this one passage. First of all, the Word of God says that we must go by faith as an individual. Our text begins, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Which means every avenue of our lives must be governed by faith. Do you hear me? Our lives must be governed by faith. I'll never forget many years ago when my wife and I got ready to go in evangelism. And by the way, in my checking account, I had $2.95. And I had $80 cash in my billfold. And that's all money I had. All of our bills were paid up to date. I only had 6 revival meetings when I started out. And my wife and I made a covenant with the Lord that the first love offering that we would receive, we would give the entire love offering back to the Lord. Well, my very first meeting was in McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania. And in my very first revival meeting, we had 2 bankers who got saved. Needless to say, we got the biggest love offering of the entire first year in our first revival meeting. And my wife and I, we gave the entire offering back to our Lord as we said we would in gratitude of Him calling us in evangelism. And guess what God began to do? God began to flood me with meetings. It got so bad. I was preaching 16 weeks in a row. And by the way, when I say 16 weeks in a row, my meetings used to be Sunday morning through Sunday morning, Sunday night through Sunday morning. And for 16 weeks in a row, I preached every day. My wife, Sharon, 16 weeks in a row, she sang every night. One night, ironically, we both had a dream. I had a dream. I was preaching so much, I just fell over in the pulpit from exhaustion. And that very night, Sharon had a dream that she was walking on the platform to sing a solo, wearing a house coat with only one shoe on. I told Sharon I did not mind the house coat, but I was embarrassed with just one shoe on. But all these years, God's been so good to us. You know why? Because of the biblical principle, you step out by faith to serve God. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:30, the just shall live by faith. And listen to me, as an individual, your life must be one of faith. But the second of all, we must go by faith to see God do unusual things in our lives. Look at our text again. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Now stop right there and look at me. Now we know that God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. That God is omniscient. He's the God of all knowledge. That God is omnipresent, He's an all-seeing God. And since He's all of that, then He is able to do the unusual in our lives. In the Old Testament, there's a man of God named Joshua who was commanded of God to go and defeat a great city called Jericho. And God said for Joshua to take the children of Israel and march around Jericho once every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they were marching around 7 times. Then God said they were to blow the trumpets and give a great shout. When they get a great shout, God said the walls would fall down flat. I would say that's a very unusual war plan, wouldn't you? But God gave it. And never question what God instructs you to do. And so, they marched around Jericho once every day for 6 days. The seventh day, they marched around 7 times. And then they gave a great shout. And when they did, the word of God says, the walls fell down flat. Question, what made the wall fall down? The shout? Oh, no. Oh, no. Hebrews 11:30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You see, Faith honors God, and God will always honor faith. And you have a decision to make. Are you going to worry, fret, be full of anxiety? Or are you going to have a life of faith? Someone made this great contrast. Look at me, please. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. In Luke 17:5, the Word of God says, Lord, increase our faith. If there's ever a cry that should come from your heart, that cry ought to be, Lord, increase my faith. You know what? You will never, never see God do the unusual in your life until you grasp this biblical principle. But third of all, look back at our text. We must go by faith to anticipate visible results. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Look here, please. A great man of God defined definition. Faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of the faith is to see what we believe. In other words, faith always anticipates visible results. You hear me? Faith always anticipates visible results. Many years ago, we thought my wife had cancer. I stood in the doctor's office in South Carolina, and he said, Mr. Savinsky, I am positive your wife has cancer. And I cannot get into detail. But to make it succinct, let me say this. It was benign. However, we had to have the family off of the road for one whole year. And so what I would do is this. I would go and be gone for 2 weeks. I'd come home for 1 week. Then I'd be gone for 3 weeks. I'd come home for 1 week. And that was going on for a number of months in that year. And one time I came home, and my boys, they were all like this, stepladder boys, about this height, you know, just little boys. When I walked in the house, I'll never forget this, my three boys said, Daddy, we got to talk with you, Daddy, in the bedroom. I said, really? They said, yeah, Daddy, we got to talk with you. So I walked in the bedroom, and my boys, they all crossed their legs like this, you know, and they went down to the floor like little Indians, and I sat down beside them. And they looked me in the eyes and they said, Daddy, we want to travel with you in evangelism again. And I said, oh, you guys, you're just saying that. They said, No, Daddy. We want to travel with you in evangelism again. And I said, well, what about your little friends? You would no longer have your little friends. All three boys looked at me. Eyes full of tears. Lips trembling, and said these exact words to me. Daddy, we would rather be with you than have all of our little friends. Whew. You talk about wringing the tears out of a man's heart. I mean, it did something to me. It ignited me. When I saw how much my boys missed me, I said, okay, guys, we'll get back on the road. The problem was I needed a truck, a trader, and the teacher in 3 weeks, and I didn't have anything. So I called a good friend of mine named Dennis Matney in Marshalltown, Iowa. I said, hey, Brother Dennis, this is Jerry Savinsky. He said, yes, Brother Jerry, how can I help you? I said, Dennis, I need a truck in 3 weeks. He said, Jerry, that'll never happen. I said, why'd you say that? He said, I can't get a truck for you in 3 weeks. That's impossible. I said, oh, no, it's not impossible. I said, Dennis, God's going to use you, and in 3 weeks, you will have a truck for me. and I hung up. And then I called up Tom Raper in Richmond, Indiana. I said, "Hey, Brother Tom, this is Jerry Savinsky." He said, "Yeah, Brother Jerry, what can I do for you?" I said, "Brother Tom, I need a trader in 3 weeks. He said, "Jerry, this cannot happen." I said, "Why do you say that?" He said, "Because the factory has gone on vacation for 2 weeks. There's no way they could have your trader ready in 3 weeks." I said, "Tom, that's beside the point. God's going to use you, and you will have a trader for me in 3 weeks." I got through with him. I called a young girl up in Greenville, South Carolina, who taught a Southside Christian school. Got a young lady named Joy Sugart. I never met the girl in my life, but she was highly recommended to me by some godly men that I knew. And they said, "She's a wonderful, godly young lady, a tremendous teacher." And so I called her up. I said, "Joy, you don't know who I am. I'm Jerry Savinsky, and my wife and I, we travel in evangelism. We have 3 sons and a daughter. And we'd like to know, would you prayerfully consider traveling and teaching our children?" And she said, "Well, I don't know. I've never met you." I said, "I know, and we've never met you." I said, "Joy, would you be willing to pray about it? And in 3 weeks, we all can meet in Greenville, and we could take you out for lunch and see how the Lord would direct you." She said, "I would be willing to do that." The 3 weeks go by. I called up Dennis Matney in Marshalltown, Iowa. I said, "Hey, Dennis, this is Jerry Savinsky." And this is exactly what he said. "Jerry Savinsky, you'll never believe what happened." I said, "What happened, Dennis?" He said, "A man bought a brand new truck. One item was missing on the truck. He has rejected the truck. Jerry, it's yours if you want it." I said, "Dennis, what color is the truck?" He said, "A two-tone gray. Look at me, the very color I was praying for." I called up Tom Raper. I said, "Tom, this is Jerry Savinsky." He starts laughing. I mean, burst out laughing. I said, "Tom, why are you laughing?" He said, "Jerry, I cannot believe the timing of your phone call." I said, "What do you mean by that, Tom?" He said, "When the factory went back to work, they got all the orders messed up. Somehow, yours was the first one that they assembled. And the reason I'm laughing so hard, when you mentioned your name, I looked out my office window, and they're pulling your trader by my office right now. Jerry, it's here." Sharon and I drove to Greenville, South Carolina. We took Joy, shivered off her meal. At the close of the meal, Joy looked at me and she said these exact words. She said, "I had no intention of traveling with you people. But after meeting your family, I know I must travel and teach the children." And 5 years, Joy Sugar traveled and taught our children. You see, faith is not the blind outreach of groping hand that seeks for some solid sand among the seeking sand, but certain trust in one well-known, whom the Savior's cross His love has shown. It will not fuss or fret when things go wrong, but in the valley dark sing a song. And I'm telling you what, young people, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seeketh Him. However, if there's anyone here and you're unsaved, you know the only way God can save you, my friend, is by faith. Did you know that? Hebrews 11:8-9. Ephesians chapter 2, brother, 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You're saved, my friend, through Jesus Christ, not by works. You've got to recognize what faith is. 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 4 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose the third day according to the Scriptures." And so there is the message of God, that Christ was the one who died for our sins. He was the one who was buried. He's the one who arose from the grave. That's the gospel. He died for you. He died for your sins. He arose from the grave. He's a living Savior who wants to save you from your sin, give you peace and everlasting life. And you've got to come to Him. You know, one night in West Virginia, when I was 17 years of age, I had a man of God preach the Bible named Doug Rutherford. And when Pastor Doug Rutherford preached the Word of God and gave the invitation, you know what? I thank God in my heart. I said, "Yes, I want Christ to save me." And that night, January 17th, in a snowstorm in West Virginia, I came to Christ, but I came to Christ by faith. I crossed myself. I prayed every night. I was baptized as a baby. But I did not know Christ as my Savior. I used Jesus as a curse word. I used God's name in profanity. But that night I was saved by faith coming to Christ. And He's my Lord and He's my Savior. He's everything to me. Oh, what is Jesus Christ to me? My Lord God, Savior, Emmanuel, friend. He's everything. Colossians 3:11 says, "But Christ is all and in all." Now, I can stand here tonight to tell you that He's no respecter of persons. He'd love to save you if you don't know Him. And I pray you to come to Christ tonight.